Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. My Nesson.com colleague, Doug Kide, made a great point on Twitter a few minutes ago. This whole legal tampering thing seems kind of dumb. Why don't you just begin free agency?
I don't know.
Why?
I really don't know.
I mean,
I don't know.
Danny Amendola's in Detroit taking a physical.
Right. Didn't the team announce they signed him? Right.
I don't know if the... Well, he was a street free agent, so it's different.
But, right.
But, you know, I mean, Antonio Brown, whoever. I mean, why can't you just... Okay, we're going to start free agency Monday.
I don't get it. Just so they can extend it out longer, I guess. Get that build going for Wednesday. Get excited for Wednesday.
Do you want to know what NFL outsider Ian Rappaport has to say now?
I'm not really sure, Dale. I don't know if I'm going to believe anything. What does he got?
Well, he says, keep an eye on the Raiders as Trent Brown's market heats up. Internally, he's one of the Raiders' top targets in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the left tackles, there's not a whole lot of them out there. And just like we were talking about with Trey Flowers, how most of the pass rushers have been franchised, so there's not a great list at the top. So both Trey Flowers and Trent Brown are hitting free agency at the right time. The Raiders, they're every year they're willing to throw around stupid money. And Trent Brown came off of a great... He could not have had a better contract year for him. So I think he's definitely gone. Trey Flowers, I'm still holding out hope for. Trent Brown, I'd be shocked if he came back.
Technically, at this moment, the Patriots don't have a kicker under contract, technically. Most people think Steven Gostkowski will likely be re-signed and return here. But one of the analysts that I saw out there, and I apologize for not remembering who it was, said, you know, wouldn't you think the Chicago Bears might come offer some money to Steven Gostkowski to solve their kicking issues?
Probably, yeah, I think they could. Although I feel like you're not going to go nuts, and then I'm sure Gostkowski, who's been here forever, would just look back to the Patriots and say, well, this is what they offered me. So before he takes it, they might give him a chance to sign him. Right, I would assume he's going to be back. I think the Patriots want him back.
You've thought so. I mean, it seems logical.
But sure, it could happen. And there are definitely teams out there that have had a hard time finding a consistent kicker, so maybe they would make the move.
It would appear that the two likeliest landing spots for Le'Veon Bell are the Jets and, surprise, the Oakland Raiders.
How about that? If the Raiders got Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and for what? Nothing. A third and a fifth. Yep. And then we could get both of them. And just a lot of money, too. I mean, you have to pay those guys a lot of money. But you would have to look at them. Because remember just a couple of years ago, before Derek Carr got hurt, they looked like the next best team in the AFC. Oh, this is also pre-Gruden. But Derek Carr was putting together kind of an MVP season. We thought that it might be Patriots and Raiders in the playoffs. And then Derek Carr gets hurt. They turn it over to Matt McGloin or whatever, and they lose to the Texans. But they, or Connor Cook, or whoever the hell it was. It was somebody, I think it was Connor Cook. But they were really good. And then they just fell off a cliff. And then they started trading away their best players. They hired Gruden. But Bell and Brown would make them pretty intriguing.
Taking age out of the equation for a moment, and I understand it's a factor, but taking age out, who's a better quarterback? Derek Carr or Ben Roethlisberger?
I mean, right now, probably Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I was thinking, because my point here is Antonio Brown had a hard time apparently coexisting with Roethlisberger,
right,
who's a really good quarterback. He ain't Tom Brady, but he's really good. What's he going to be like coexisting with Derek Carr?
We'll see. I mean, and I think Gruden, too, is a part of it, though. Like, I think it was Roethlisberger, the Roethlisberger-Tomlin combination is what I think really set him off. And so maybe Gruden, being an offensive mind, he's going to have to come up with something. If he can't get a successful season out of Antonio Brown, it looks even worse, I think, for Gruden than it does for Brown. They just gave Gruden a 10-year contract, and now they're giving him who I think is still the best receiver. Maybe he's in the top three, whatever, but they bring him in, and if he can't get any production out of him, that looks even worse. I mean, it already looks like a disaster, but that would make things look even worse.
And if you think about, and again, technically it's the legal tampering period, not free agency, but according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, Apparently, Malik Jackson will sign with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, listen to this. 3-year,
for nothing.
$30 million deal. $10 million a year.
Yeah. That's nothing.
And you know, look, I don't think he's as good as Trey Flowers.
Right.
But
right.
3 years, $30 million, as Field Yates put it, a 3-year, $10 million a year deal for defensive tackle Malik Jackson to the Eagles is an absolute heist for Philadelphia.
Yeah, I wonder why he would agree to that deal that quickly, right? I mean, and who's his agent? I bet you it's not Drew Rosenhaus for him to sign for that much. But I think Trey Flowers still is in a great position because he has the Miami Dolphins, the Detroit Lions, and the New England Patriots that would all want him. And all guys that are very familiar with what he has to bring to the table. And so maybe they'll say, well, this is what Malik Jackson got. Like, all right, well, you're still going to have to, you know, top each other. Somebody's going to have to come in there with an opening bid. I would think it would be $16 or $17 million. And then maybe one of these teams decides to go a little bit further. But also with NFL contracts, they're so screwy that maybe one offers more per year, but the other offers more guaranteed money, and that's really the only number that matters. So we'll see, but I think he's going to make way more than Malik Jackson.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. As you heard moments ago during the award-winning Trending Now,
thank you, Dale.
The Boston Celtics have a chance to complete a perfect 4-game road trip. We were saying going into this thing, if they finish 2-2, we'd be happy.
Right.
I mean, we thought they had a chance of beating the Lakers, even with LeBron.
The Lakers are a hot mess.
They're
awful. I love it. I love every second of it.
But now, as it turns out, Golden State may be a different category, but a bit of a hot mess themselves. They've lost 4 of their last 6, including a loss to the Celtics.
Yeah.
You know, we thought Sacramento.
See Steve Kerr?
Yeah. I could read lips too, Steve.
I'm
bleeping sick of Draymond Green.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean, they're kind of, as good as they are, and I think they're still where all the money should go on, they're not running away with it. And they've had different injuries and they've had different kind of chemistry issues. They're trying to, you know, incorporate, you know, Boogie Cousins into the team. It's another reason why it's frustrating that the Celtics have had the season that they have had, because the Eastern Conference is wide open in my mind, at least the top 5 teams, it's wide open. And then the Warriors, probably in the first time in 4 or 5 years, don't look as unbeatable. Again, that's who you would pick, but they don't look as unbeatable. But do you think this Celtics 3-game winning streak, is this what they are? Or would it surprise you if they went right back in the tank in a couple of games?
It would surprise me if they went right back in the tank, but I also don't want to overreact because, as we pointed out, Golden State's got some issues going on right now. When all is said and done, the Sacramento win might be the most surprising, considering it was the
back-to-back
games.
No Kyrie.
All of that.
Right.
But, you know, Kyrie was playing again on Saturday against the Lakers. I assume we'll be playing tonight as they wrap up the trip.
I would assume so, right? I don't think we've heard anything yet. But, I mean, they blow out Golden State. And that, I don't care if it's one of these games where, oh, well, Golden State just didn't really have it, or, you know, Klay Thompson didn't play. Look at what the Celtics were doing. They had lost 7 of 10 prior to that. They got blown out at home, even though I guess it was only an 11-point final, but they were down huge to Houston. They lost to Chicago as part of this stretch. So the fact that they went in there where they had been bad on the road, right? They've been below 500 on the road until this trip. They face Curry and Durant and Boogie and Draymond Green. So there's still plenty of talent. There's 2 MVPs on that team, and they blow doors. Then they followed up the very next night against the Sacramento Kings, which aren't a great team, but they're fighting for a playoff spot. They got a really good backcourt, and they beat them, and Gordon Hayward hits a clutch shot at the end and all of that. And then they didn't just fall apart, or they didn't say, hey, we're 2-0 on the trip, that's pretty good, and take the Lakers completely, you know, for granted. And they beat them. And now if you go 4-0 on the trip, that is impressive. However, I feel like throughout the year, there's been times where, like, this win.
Okay, there
they go. This is the win, right? Like, the Pacers game, this is the win that'll turn things around. Didn't. The Raptors, this is the win. The Raptors, yeah, beat them, perfect. Nope, that didn't matter. Philly in Philly, that's the signature win. Nope. So, Golden State, I think Golden State's their best win. And so far, they've been able to, you know, carry that over and you know, win 3 straight games and maybe get a little bit of a winning streak. Also of importance, they are 1 game behind both Philly and Indiana. So 1 game for 4th, but also right there for 3rd.
Big difference.
Like,
yeah.
That is a big, they're closing ground on those teams, which is super important. So no matter how the season ends, if they can at least avoid having to play on the road in the first round, you'll feel a lot, whole lot better about them advancing.
Have you ever heard Kyrie after a game say this? If it works.
Efforting? I have not heard
it. Having fun, competing at a very high level and holding ourselves to a very high standard, and it starts with me. So on both ends of the floor, obviously, you know, we're very offensively talented, but we got to make our identity on the defensive end. So this was a great another step for us in a road trip.
Who was that guy? Who was that?
That's your guy.
Who was that?
He's having fun.
I don't know. He's having fun?
Having fun.
He's having fun out there? So let me guess. Winning is fun, right? I think winning is fun. And they played a lot better than they did the last time against the Lakers, where they blew an 18-point lead at home. So they were able to at least, you know, go head-to-head with LeBron and, you know, and defeat him, as LeBron's just chasing, you know, points records and things like that now, not titles anymore. But so, yeah, that was kind of refreshing from Kyrie. It was a little bit different.
He was saying what you wanted him to say.
Happy Kyrie. This personality today was happy.
Starts with me. Which starts with him. You always want leaders to say.
Yes.
Starts with me.
Yes. On the defensive end, too.
Both ends of the court.
I don't know if you want him to be your defensive leader,
no,
but either way.
You want him doing, at least trying to do it, though.
Yes, you absolutely do. So that's a positive sign. You know, the hope, now, I didn't anticipate this, but the hope was road trip. How many times have you heard in Sportsdale, teams go on the road trips, they have to spend more time together?
It often helps.
Sometimes it does.
Especially if you've got a long plane ride, chance to talk things out.
Yeah, they were talking about it. They're like, we got stuck in the air. We're, you know, 6.5 hours and we weren't all just, you know, on our iPads. We were actually talking to each other. You're like, what a novel concept. These guys were actually interacting with each other.
You know what else they did on the plane?
What'd they do?
That guy you just heard from did on the plane?
Kyrie, what'd he do?
Coaching on the plane, myself. I help Coach Stevens with some coaching, but more or less just giving our spirit, right?
He can't help himself.
So as soon as
that
he
may
said,
have been a joke, but like it's not. But like he actually does think that he did help.
But as soon
coach.
As he says something that you kind of half, hey, that's not bad.
And then he right back into what he
gives
is.
That up.
Right
back having fun.
Now there's actually I wonder if this will become a story, Dale, and this we can get into. There's a player on the team that said something else about Kyrie Irving, and about I don't know if you're going to like this. They've had a lot of issues on this team. Fair?
Don't know if you've noticed that.
They've had a lot of issues. Yeah. A lot of them Kyrie specific. Well, one player on the team spoke out about it. I feel like it didn't get nearly enough attention over the weekend as it should have.
And which you're going to make sure it does.
And we'll hear from that.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Next.
Follow Dale on Twitter at Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
.617-779-7937 is the telephone number if you'd like to hop on board with us. So you were talking before we went to the break.
Yes. Now, this got this came out on Friday night. Celtics Post Up is a show on NBC Sports Boston. Kyle Draper and Terry Rozier is on that show. And Terry Rozier was talking about Kyrie Irving. And he's very honest. And a lot of times there's some good stuff that comes out of here from Terry Rozier. But listen to this. Basically talking about the relationship with Kyrie Irving and sort of obviously how we know how important he is to the team, but this is sort of a personal kind of example here from Terry Rozier.
You know, Kyrie brought your name up over All-Star Weekend, talking about the competition between you two. He said there's a natural competition between you two based on what you did in the playoffs. Did you see that, and what did you think when you heard it?
It was dead on. It was dead on. And like he said, nobody else is going to say it. It was dead on, and you know, not too many people gonna say it because they're not in me and his shoes, so they don't know how we really feel. But at the same time, I've been saying it since I joined and played, been his teammate. he's like the bigger brother that I want everything that he got. So it's never hating on him or nothing like that, but it's just like I want everything you got. So I'm gonna challenge him every day. He gonna challenge me, and you know, he just brought up a great point. It's just high level comp, man. That's all it is. That's my guy. We got love for each other. We always talking to each other. So when we step on that court, it's like we not friends, and that's that. But when we get off that court, let everything go, and that's just like that's how it is every day, and that's how it's supposed to be. Be honest with you.
Wait, so how are they not friends when they're on the court? Shouldn't they be friends on the court? Like, I mean, you don't have to be like best buds with the guy, but isn't that the opposite thing? Like, that's what they always say in sports, where you're like, hey, off the court, you guys don't need to be hanging out all the time, you know, playing video games, going to the movies, and you know, you don't need to be with the guy all the time. But on the court, you guys need to have that chemistry. He's basically saying the opposite. He's like, when we're on the court, we're not friends. Like, what?
I mean, if he was talking the practice court, I'd even half understand it.
Right, like head-to-head.
Right,
but
right.
On the court,
but
and
if,
I know...
If he's talking on the court when you're playing somebody else...
Yeah, it's weird. Like, those other guys should be not your friends, right? Like, I don't care if you went to college with so-and-so and he's on the other team. Well, for those 48 minutes, you're not friends. But for his own teammate... I was very, very confused
Look,
by that.
Look, there are times when sometimes, you know, we say stuff here on live radio or afterwards we go, what the hell was I saying? Don't you think once in a while they say stuff that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense?
It doesn't make
like
a whole
lot of sense. Like that one doesn't. Yeah. And I bet if he listened back to it, he'd go, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, maybe not. And then so he also talked about his role on the team as well.
When you look back at the last few months, has the re-entry into kind of a different role, your former role, been as what you've expected, more challenging these last 3 or 4 months as you've kind of gone back to being either a backup or playing with Kyrie Irving?
I've been asked this a lot this year with this role. Let's just put it like this. I wouldn't say I'm the best backup guard in this league because that's not what I am. Now, with that being said, I do have to adjust some things. I have to get better at controlling some things. But like I said, at the end of the day, I'm just going out there and I'm playing hard. So I'd be happy if we get a championship. That's what I really want. That's all I need.
Because he was the one guy that, you know, there was
background music, don't you think?
All the time. I think it might help us.
Constantly.
Well, it kind of drowns out the basketball's dribbling
not enough.
Little bit.
Now,
yeah. I can hear those pretty clear.
Yeah.
They're all mic'd up, apparently. But, yeah, Rozier's been trying to deal all season with his role on the team. But, no, the real thing I wanted to talk about here, and I don't even think they posted it, because I don't know if they wanted to get in trouble with Rozier or with the Celtics or with what. But Terry Rozier was talking about Kyrie Irving, and he said that, basically, paraphrasing, when Kyrie Irving is in a good mood, everything's great, and when he's in a bad mood, not so much. Like, it is all about Kyrie, and so you don't know which Kyrie is showing up, and if things aren't going well, to me, it just sounded like the worst kind of leader, like a front-running leader, and even a player on his team is admitting that. So if this winning streak right now, I'm sure everything's going great.
Oh, he looks very happy.
Everything's happy. Everybody's having a good time. We played the Kyrie cut from before, from right after the Lakers game. This is great. Starts with me, yada, yada, yada. But then you start losing, and now your mood's not going to be as good. Like, don't you need your leader to be a little bit more even-keeled? Like, wouldn't somebody who, I don't know, look at the Bruins, for example. Like, Bergeron and Chara are the leaders of that team.
Very even-keeled.
Yeah, and they're like, when they're on a winning streak, they've just had points in 19 straight, and you don't hear them being like, we're going to win the cup! Like, no. We're the greatest! Because then, when you do lose 3 games, it can't be the end of the world. And because you need to bounce back. It's a long season. And I just feel like Rozier really put it into perspective that Kyrie Irving, when things are going great, it's the best. And when they're not, well, kind of a hard guy to be around and a guy that you probably don't really want to listen to.
And Kai talked. When Kai's our leader, when he's in a great mood and he's feeling good, we hardly be beat. It's, like I said, it's contagious. It rub off on everybody else. And then sometimes when he, you know, not like that, they can get everybody up tight. So, you know, the way he's been acting has been great. And yeah, it's been good for us.
So that's, okay, good. So that is the cut. So I was afraid. I'm like, well, maybe they didn't even post it. Maybe they didn't want to get Terry Rozier in trouble. Because I think that's pretty clear that, yeah, you know, this guy can be kind of tough. Because there's a difference between, you know, being competitive or being fired up or things like that. But also, if the team is really struggling, whatever team it is, everybody's going to go to the leader of that team. Like, what's going on? What's the problem with this team? And it seems like, yeah, you got to kind of wait and see what kind of mood Kyrie is in.
Yeah, and I do think that the comment about, you know, we're not friends on the court, I really do think he means the practice court.
I hope
so. I'm pretty sure that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
You know, you're out there, you're going head to head, you're battling with each other.
That's fine then.
And you're not buddies then.
Right.
But then you go off the court and you're pals again.
Yeah.
I don't think he means when we're playing the Lakers, I don't really like him very much.
Like, what are you doing? And so Terry Rozier is also.
And by the way, I like the fact that he says, you know, I'm the best backup quarterback in the NBA because that's not even what I am. I like that.
Right. He wants to be a starter. That's what he claims to be. That's what he wants to be. He also said he wants to be Kyrie Irving. Like, I don't know if it's jealousy or envy or what you would want to call it, but he sees Kyrie Irving, shoe deal, you know, movie, all-star starter, Team USA. He sees all that stuff and he wants to be that. So that's got to be sort of a tough balance for a player. And also, you know, last year we talked about how, oh, look how great this is that all these young guys got to the Eastern Conference Finals. But still, that ended up almost in a weird way being a negative because Rozier, Jaylen Brown, and maybe even a little bit Jason Tatum were like, hey, we can do this on our own. So, like, why do we need to change anything that we were doing? And why do we need to sacrifice anything that we did? Look how far we got. And just because Kyrie and Gordon Hayward are here, why should things have to change? But in reality, for them to all fit together, they do have to give things up.
And I do agree that in a perfect world, he'd be a little more even-keeled emotionally. And you used Bergeron as an example, or you know, Brady as an example.
Yeah.
Now, he gets all fired up at times, and he's yelling.
Right.
But I'm guessing he's not moping. Of course, they don't really go on losing streaks, but you know what I'm saying.
He's probably
not moping around down there.
Right. Like, he can be upset, but he's never going to throw a teammate under the bus. Ever.
And he always takes the blame on himself.
Right. And so he's never going to do that. And, I mean, you can even say this year, what were they, 1-3 to start the year or whatever? And so, like, you know, that's not a typical start. But not, and even if he's kind of short answers, it's not as it relates to teammates or sort of focusing the blame somewhere else and never ever admitting that he did something wrong. And I think that was sort of the issue that Kyrie got in. So I don't know if this will pop up and be an issue. Like, if Kyrie will get wind of what Rozier had to say about this, doesn't seem like it because they went out and won yesterday. But you just feel like, okay, could there be another one of these issues where they drop a couple of games and then you go right back to where you were? And I mean, what do they got, 15 games or whatever it is left? And then the playoffs? It just seems like the whole chemistry thing, I wouldn't say these three games have fixed it. Because some have suggested maybe they had a pizza party or maybe they had something.
It certainly helped.
They've been pretty good, yeah, these three games.
And they've acted, you know, and again, we're going back to body language stuff, which is sometimes unfair. But, I mean, they look happy. They look excited. They seem pleased for teammates having success. You don't get the sense that there's this emotional turmoil going on.
No.
Which at times when things weren't. Look, even Wick Grosbeck said, this is as bad a month, talking about February, as I can remember here. You can see where they probably weren't going to be, you know, all chatty Cathy, happy, and you know, things were going bad.
But I just think, again, there's just too many examples, unfortunately, of them not being able to take a winning streak and push that forward. And not that they're going to win out, but just the way they sort of react. And I go back January, they blow out Indiana. They follow that up losing to Miami, Orlando, and Brooklyn. Then after that, they won 10 of 11 games.
Yep.
The only loss in there was a close game to Golden State. So you're thinking, they figured this out. They got a Toronto win in there. They beat Oklahoma City in there. And then they followed that up 10 of 11 by blowing an 18-point lead to the Lakers and a 28-point lead to the Clippers, both of those games at home. And you're saying, well, what the hell is going on with this team? Then they win two games without Kyrie Irving. Then they lose four straight after the All-Star break. So I guess the only consistent thing about them is that they have been inconsistent. Like, all year, you could circle a really good 3 or 4 game stretch, but then you can also circle a 3 or 4 or 5 really bad game stretch. And so that's why come playoff time, they still have a talented enough team where it's going to be hard to completely rule them out, but it feels like they could turn on each other at any time.
They look They look better, obviously, emotionally.
Yeah.
But they also look better on the court.
Yeah, they do. The Golden State game, really, the ball movement was off the
38 assists or something. I mean,
that was off the charts. They were zipping the ball.
When you're playing like that, and by the way, that also helps the whole teamwork, camaraderie thing.
Right.
The way they're moving the ball around. Right now, my guess is Brad Stevens has had a lot of talks. I mean, even Kyrie mentioned, you know, he and Brad got together. I was helping him coach.
He helped him coach, yeah.
But my guess is there was more talk going from Brad to Kyrie than there was from Kyrie to Brad.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, they've definitely had to make...
Brad's doing the stuff we would expect he would do, right?
Right, exactly. And I think he's probably just been at such a loss because all the teams that he has had, going back to Butler and then the first several years with the Celtics, it seems like he's pressed the right buttons more often than not and maximized the talent all the time. This has got to be such a confusing year because I'm sure he has tried a million different things. Like, I know from the outside you look at it, you're like, well, why don't you change the starting lineup? Or why don't you do this? But there's probably a lot of things that he is doing that we don't really notice, and yet the results haven't always been there. So it's got to be a wildly frustrating season for him because he knows it could be a real title contender. Especially, again, we mentioned before, you go back to Golden State not looking as unbeatable as they have in years past. You said, wow, could somebody else, could a team without LeBron or without Curry and Durant win the title this year? And I think the answer is yes.
Part of the problem is we as sports fans here in this town have been so spoiled. You know, you got a World Series championship.
Back-to-back
championships. You got a Super Bowl championship.
You know, and two more contenders right now.
And you know, we had the caller earlier talking about how the Bruins were flat last night. Yeah.
Like a pancake.
You know, they go 19 games with at least a point. Their last loss was the night before the AFC championship game in regulation, before last night.
Yeah.
So then they go out and not great. You know, they don't have a good performance. They lose 4-2 with an empty net goal. And you go, what the hell's wrong with them? You know, the Celtics put together three in a row here, but now we're going, well, yeah, but where's that been all year long?
Yeah.
They're good. They're, you know, one of the better teams in the East. They're not necessarily championship, you know, favorites. They're not. Bruins aren't championship favorites. Tampa Bay still is, but they're still one of the best teams. It used to be we would applaud the fact that the Bruins were one of the best teams in hockey, or the Celtics are one of the best teams in the East. Now it's like, yeah, but they don't win at all.
I think the Bruins at least have a little bit more leeway than the Celtics do, because the Celtics loaded up, and they also teased us because they got so far last year. And then you say, all right, if you take an Eastern Conference championship finalist and you add Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward to it, how does that not equal finals? And right now you're seeing it equal the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference. But again, they're only a game out of the third seed, and what a difference that would make, because now in the first round you have home court and you're facing either Detroit or Brooklyn, and then so they're guaranteed to make it to the second round. So that automatically makes you feel a whole lot better. Now they'd be matched up with likely Toronto, and I don't love that matchup for them, but that is so much different than being the fifth seed and having to go on the road, say, to Indiana in the first round, or Philly in the first round. That would be obviously the worst case scenario. And for the last few weeks prior to this little three-game winning streak, that almost looked like a reality to me. I was like, wow, this team is trending on being the fifth seed and then probably getting bounced in the first round after the last couple of seasons they had where they proved everybody wrong and made it much further than they were supposed to.
We've probably adjusted our targets for what we think constitutes a successful season. Because you've got a couple of championships, you know, in back-to-back seasons here.
Yeah.
Now it's if the Bruins got bounced in the second round by Tampa Bay, and I'm just using this as an example, would their season be a failure, or would they have been beaten by the best team in hockey by a wide margin all season long?
No, if they lose to Tampa Bay, I don't think anybody would call it a failure. Do you?
Well, that's...
I mean, people might get upset,
but here now, that's what it's... You know, if the Celtics get beaten the second round or the Eastern Conference Finals, the season is a failure.
Yes, for the Celtics, I think it would be. For the Bruins, no, only because it's Tampa Bay. If the Bruins lose to Toronto, I think it would be deemed a failure, even though Toronto's a good team. But I think that would be looked at as a real letdown of a season. It's also, if they lose to Tampa, how do you do it? Is it like last year where you win game one and then you get smoked four straight? Because that's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. But if they play a competitive series against Tampa, who is head and shoulders the best team in hockey right now, I don't think people can lose their minds about that.
But they might.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I don't think that'd be like a small minority. I think most people would look at it and say, this team, you know, just unfortunately based on seeding, had to face the best team in the second round. Because the Bruins are the second best team in hockey. They're also the second best team in their division. So, like, that kind of sucks. Like, that's how it is. It's like if the Celtics had to play the Warriors in the second round, I don't think anybody would lose their minds if they lost that series. But if you lose to Philly or Indiana in the first round, I think you are justified in losing your mind.
We have certainly adjusted our standards, though, in this town, haven't we?
For a while, though, don't you think?
Oh, no, it's been...
Yeah.
We've been on this...
Because the Patriots sort of changed the game for everybody. And then, meanwhile, the Red Sox pop these World Series, you know. So, I think everybody raises the expectations. You know who's not going to lose in the first round of the playoffs this year, Dale? LeBron James. He's not going to lose in the first round because he's not going to make the playoffs. Would you say...
Could little Richie Keith be any happier?
No, yes. If the Celtics were a little bit better, then I could really enjoy this and embrace LeBron James being terrible. They are 3-10 since LeBron has returned from his injury. They are 7.5 games out of the final eighth seed in the Western Conference. Do you think this negatively affects his legacy?
No.
Oh, I think it does. I think it absolutely does.
How can I blame him? When I look at that team and you look at that team.
Yeah.
Even LeBron can't carry that bunch of Humpties across the finish line.
So he chose to go there.
No, that and he did.
He did that to himself.
But the fact that they don't make the playoffs, are you blaming him that they don't make the playoffs?
Yes, because LeBron took a bunch of Humpties, your words, to the NBA Finals last year. Right? So you go, nobody's
asking. They
were
better Humpties than that group out there, though.
Barely. Let's not pretend that Kyle Kuzma's awful or some of these guys are completely terrible. Brandon Ingram can score a little bit. That's the Clippers are in the playoffs, and look at the Clippers roster. Tell me how many Humpties are on the Clippers, and yet they are 7.5 games better than LeBron. I just think if you are the best player in the league, or even if you want to say he's dropped off, see a top five player in the league, how many times has a top five player in the league missed the playoffs? It doesn't happen. Nobody's expecting him to make the NBA Finals. Nobody was expecting him to win a round. But to miss the playoff and to not even be close, like they're not even knocking on the door. They have a worse record than the Kings and the Timberwolves. Like, oh my God. That absolutely impacts his legacy. That is brutal. He chose to go there. It wasn't like he was all of a sudden got traded against his will. He chose to go there. And it has been an absolute failure.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll see if Kyrie Irving agrees with you about LeBron James when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio W.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Six one seven 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 nine seven ninety three seven is the telephone number. So You hate LeBron James with a white-hot intensity of a thousand suns.
That's correct, Dale.
There might not be another person on the planet you hate more than LeBron James.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Although Eli Manning really... Anyway, probably LeBron. No, probably LeBron. It's LeBron.
So you said that this is LeBron's fault. If they don't make
it, and
they're not going to make
it. And it hurts his legacy. Because everybody's going on and on. You see those things that they're doing. They're like, the last time LeBron missed the playoffs, like, the newspaper business was thriving. Like, there's all these, like, old ones. Because it was 05, I want to say, was his last missed playoffs. And the guy always gets out of the first round. So what was his first 2 years in the league, they didn't make the playoffs. And then since then, he's made it every single year. But he chose that. So both he and Kyrie Irving both wanted out of Cleveland. Kyrie is playing on a playoff team, and LeBron is not. And again, more teams make the playoffs than miss the playoffs. So you're not even asking them to do something otherworldly. Nobody's saying, hey, you got to take that Lakers team and beat the Warriors or beat the Blazers or beat the Nuggets. Nope. It's just get into the playoffs. You can't be the eighth seed, and no, they can't. They're below 500. And they're currently on a 5-game losing streak. They're talking about managing his minutes the rest of the way.
Well, before we hear what Kyrie says about
it,
let me just play devil's advocate for you here, okay?
Sure.
Last year, LeBron James, playing for Cleveland, averaged 27.5 points a game. This year, it's 27.1. Last year, he averaged 7.5 rebounds a game. Excuse me, 8.6 rebounds a game. This year, it's 8.6 rebounds a game. Last year, he averaged 9.1 assists per game. This year, it's 8.1. He's playing the exact same level he played at last year.
I disagree. I don't know if you've seen just the highlights of it, but him on defense has become hilarious. Like, every night, there's examples of him standing around, not looking at anybody, then getting mad at his teammates. I mean, that's an example of hollow stats. Like, I think you can find that, especially guys that are on bad teams. They put up the numbers. Somebody's going to have to score the 27, but they're not impactful points. And he might be the worst defensive player in the league this year. Plus, it's also his fault for basically wanting to trade the entire roster. Then the trade doesn't go through, and now you got to play with a bunch of guys who are like, you wanted us out of here?
His career average is 27.2 points a game. This year it's 27.1.
Did you hear anything I said?
I did.
Okay.
I'm saying I think that he's doing all he can do.
No, I doubt. No, my God. He can run on defense. That's allowed
still.
You think
that's why they're not in the playoffs? Because he's not running on defense?
Yes, that's one of the reasons. And because all he cares about is movies and TV right now. That's why he moved to L.A.
His game doesn't seem to be suffering as much as you indicate.
I don't think he's as good as you think he is. Just because the stats are similar to what they were last year, he's on a bad team. There's a lot of guys on bad teams that put up points and rebounds. I think this is bad for him because he's supposed to still be one of the best players in the league. Now, I don't know if he is the best player in the league anymore, but he started in the All-Star game. He may get All-NBA votes. He certainly won't be first-team All-NBA. But he's going to get votes, and yet he's on a team that is, I mean, how many games are they going to win?
Weren't they in like
35?
Weren't they in like fourth place before he went out for 18?
No, I think they might have been like sixth or seventh. I don't think they were that high.
It was close. I mean, they were right there, and then he got hurt, misses 18 straight, and they drop like a stone.
Well, they're 3-10 in the last 13 that he's played in. So, I mean, he has not been very good, and this should be looked at as, okay, that's a problem. And guess what? It's not going to get any better for him, because who in free agency is going to go join up with the Lakers next year?
Kyrie Irving?
I don't think Kyrie Irving's going to go. I don't think Kawhi Leonard's going to go. I don't think Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant are going to go to the Lakers. Anthony Davis isn't a free agent, so maybe if you want to make the case that Anthony Davis wants to play with him, he has to get traded there, and they already rejected those trades.
All right, let's hear what Kyrie Irving had to say about LeBron James' situation this year.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine. So I feel for him. Obviously, just missing a lot of time. He's always been a championship contender, and he's such a great player, such a great teammate. And, you know, when you're not eligible to qualify for the playoffs, it's hard. I can only imagine. So, like I said, I feel for him.
Why are they not eligible to qualify? Are they serving a suspension? They get the death
facing
penalty.
Relegation.
They get the SMU death penalty. They weren't allowed to make the playoffs this year, huh? I don't know that. That seems crazy to me. I thought they were allowed. I thought every team had a chance to make the playoffs, but I guess they can't make it. He did kind of laugh, though, a little bit. Kyrie kind of laughed, which I actually kind of respect just a little bit. When he was asked about the very, just play the very beginning of the cut, he's like, I can only imagine. Then he goes, part of him has to think.
I can only imagine. I just.
That's him laughing at him. That's him laughing at him. Yeah, it's been fun to watch, and he is just a mess. And every night, Barstool's done a pretty good job of this. Every night, there's a clip or two of him blaming teammates for not passing him the ball or blaming teammates for not playing defense, even though he's the one not playing defense. There was one where one of the guys on his team had to push him in front of the guy that he was guarding. That was a classic one. He's fallen apart. And he's never going to win a title again. He isn't. He's going to be stuck on three. Three's nothing to sneeze at. I'm sure guys like Barkley and Ewing and Stockton and Malone would kill to have three. But Curry's about to win his fourth. Magic has five. Shaq has five. Tim Duncan has five. Jordan has six. So that's a big letdown for the guy who's supposed to be the greatest player of all time.
No, not too many people are saying he's the greatest player of all time.
People are, Dale.
I'm not hearing that a lot.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they are. The young demo, Dale, all over. They say he's the best player of all time.
Well, with all due respect to the young demo.
They're idiots.
They've never seen Michael Jordan play. Okay, I understand that.
It's a lot of those people, but it's out there.
Eight straight finals with, as you said, the Humpties. That's something.
No. He didn't have Humpties for eight straight years. He had Humpties last year. Prior to that, he had Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh.
That sounds like Humpties to me.
Those are all NBA players.
By the way,
but those early Hall of Famers, those first few.
The first one, he had Humpties, and then they got swept out in the finals. The first one, he had Humpties.
The LeBron James went out on Christmas Day after they beat the Warriors by 25 at Golden State. The Lakers were fourth in the West at that time.
Oh, okay.
And then he misses 18 straight games, and they drop like a stone, as you can imagine.
But the team has played 66. So, I mean, and they didn't go 0-18 when he was out, did they?
I mean, it might have been close. I don't know.
No, they didn't. I doubt it.
No, it was 0-18. They didn't go 0-18.
But also, something tells me he wasn't rushing to come back from that injury. What, he had a groin injury that knocked him out for how many games? Like, please. Please.
Well, you guys might not have the solution for him, but if you were watching the game on Saturday night, I think Van Gundy might have had something that maybe
for
the future.
Let's hear what Jeff
had to
say.
The LA Lakers.
And look, I think in the offseason, they have to rebuild this roster, right? And to me, it could be a trade with, you know, for an Anthony Davis, or I think they need to explore trading LeBron for getting as much as they can.
What are you doing? Seriously. No, seriously, what are you doing?
No, you got to get on the right timeline. If I could trade him for the Clippers into cap space, which would give me a better chance to get Durant or Kawhi Leonard, would I not do that?
Okay, LeBron James is not getting traded, okay?
You got to put everything on the
table. No, you can.
All I hear from the players now is it's business. Everything is business. Well, if it's business, then I have to do what's best for my business. I'm not saying you definitely trade him. I'm saying everything's on the table to get this team better.
I mean, Van Gundy is getting slappy a little bit. Yeah. What is he talking about?
Magic Johnson, who practically sold his soul to get the guy there, is going to trade him a year into it?
LeBron might have a no-trade clause, too. There's not many in the NBA, but if somebody would have one, it'd be him. But I do think it's worth noting, you talk about the 18 games that he missed, that'll be the most games missed in a season for his entire career.
I think they need to explore trading LeBron.
Because there's been seasons where he's missed games due to rest. He's pretty durable.
Right. Very durable.
So now he's 34, and one of the things that came out is one of these unnamed sources connected with the Lakers were saying they were a little concerned about his playing weight. Like, he's always been a big guy, and he can carry. Like, he's built like an absolute monster.
They list him at 6'8", 250.
Yeah, and some were saying that he was playing at 280 this year, and that may lead into some of the injuries that he had, right? Or also some of the, you know, poor defensive efforts and sort of, you know, how much energy he has on the court.
Before this year, the fewest games he's played in a regular season was 62 back in 2011, 2012 for Miami.
And that was 2012, so that was a 66-game season because of the lockout. So really, he played
that's
every game.
Too, yeah.
You know, so this year, if he plays the rest of the way.
Last year, he played all 82.
for the first time ever, because that was a selfish thing that he wanted to make sure that he did. It was.
The team
wanted to sit him down.
Guy plays every game, and you're going to turn it into a selfish
thing. That's why he wanted to do it. But this year, the most games he can play in is 64. Like, if he plays the rest of the way, because he missed that chunk, so that would be the fewest games that he's played in. Again, not counting 2012, because that was a shortened season. Plus, I mean, I know he's played a million minutes and everything else, but the guy's also been in the league a really long time, and eventually he's not going to be the best player anymore, and that day may be now. Like, don't you think Giannis is probably better than him? There's probably a handful of guys that are better than him. Even Durant, just right now, is probably better.
Got hurt, too.
No, I know. But even he is probably a better player. This is year, 16, I think, for LeBron? I mean, that's a ton. Like, one of the reasons why he passed Michael Jordan in points is because he's played so many more games than he has.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will look at the newest member of the Patriots, reportedly. The guy who is on his way in here, reportedly, in what is a steal of a trade, if it's true. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.